By failing to abide with the contemporary wisdom, many people have incurred the wrath of civil, military, and ecclesiastical authorities. Some, like Nicholas Copernicus, have formulated theories and hypotheses only to have them condemned years after their death. About 100 years after the death of Copernicus, Galileo was tried by an ecclesiastical court because he held to the belief that what Nicholas Copernicus had observed and worked out was in fact correct. And he died in under house arrest as a result of that belief. Such was the unwillingness of the authorities of that day and age to admit to new truth. That was in the 16th and 17th centuries. But has anything changed? Today, we live in a time when it is said that almost anything goes, and also that nothing should be accepted without any form of challenge. There is a problem with this approach. That is, that a degree of common sense is required, and the ability to conduct a logical argument. Both qualities are rapidly disappearing today. By logical argument, I mean the ability to draw a logical conclusion from two related statements, and you come to a logical conclusion as a result. And that seems to be something that too few people in this day and age are just unable to do. Instead, the current form of conversation with somebody who actually disagrees with you is to stand up and call them a fascist, a bigot, or to otherwise denigrate them by any means possible, regardless of the validity of the statements and views expressed. Consequently, we find people are excluded from positions of authority or even denied access to the broader spectrum of being able to make their views known to the people around them. David Bellamy belongs to this latter group, and he's a particular case in point. Because he refused to adhere to the commonly perceived belief of anthropological global warming, the BBC forbade him any access to the broadcasting channels operated by the BBC. Similarly, Dr. Andrew Wakefield was pilloried by the British Medical Association, the British Medical Council, for his work in protecting children from the harmful effects of the MMR vaccine. Not only that, but he was stripped of his livelihood, in that the permission to practice medicine in the United Kingdom was withdrawn from him simply because he collated the numbers of cases of vaccine-induced injury to children. Such are the lengths that the established authority will go to in order to protect their status quo. So we see nothing has changed over the past 4 or 5 centuries. Now, in the eyes of many, all those that I have quoted have been regarded as men of wisdom and learning. But like these men, we in the Church of God do not accept many of the beliefs that are commonly accepted and permeate the society in which we live today. Indeed, a cursory scan of the church website will reveal that far from accepting the pronouncements of ecclesiastical, military, and industrial figures, we openly hold views which figuratively clash with their statements and beliefs. As the Apostle Paul stated, not many wise men after the flesh are called. And I must admit that here I have not fully grasped the meaning of this and have taken it merely to read that not many wise men are called. So today, in the time that I have available to me, I would like to clarify what the Apostle Paul said in case there are others who, like me, didn't quite get the real meaning of that particular phrase. In order to show that we do need to grow in wisdom and to be aware that this may well cause as to be brought into contention with the world as the world understands the events of this day and age. I hope to cover three basic points. Firstly, when we sing "Not Many Wise Men Now Are Called," we do miss out a few of the words that were originally penned by the Apostle Paul. So we need to turn to the first epistle to the book of Corinthians, chapter 1, and begin in verse 26. Here, Paul is telling us that it is not the wise and the powerful of the world who have been called. Indeed, Jesus Christ himself said, "No one can come to me except the Father draw him." So we see here a very special selection process. Called because God the Father saw in us something that he could use in the future. Hand-picked, if you will, by the hand of God the Father. So here in Corinthians chapter 1, the beginning verse 26, we read the following few statements. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." This is not merely saying that not many wise men are called. It goes much further. It is saying not many wise men in the eyes of the world are called, not many noble in the eyes of the world, to bring to naught the things which are considered wise and noble by the world. Things, that is, people, which are considered base and considered worthless by the world and despised by the world are those that God is using in this day and age. And I have to admit that I did not fully grasp that it was that way. These are categories that the brethren of this day and age, and in fact throughout the ages, that the brethren, as the world sees them, are put into. I know that when I lack wisdom, I need to go to God to ask for the wisdom that I need, especially when it involves the church accounts. There are times when it is necessary to obtain skills and understanding that we require for our daily work. Now, that is skills and understanding which the world recognises in order that we can hone our abilities to earn a living. But we have to understand that the wisdom of this world is decidedly not godly wisdom. I would like you to turn with me now to the book of James and chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. In this passage, James is showing the vast differences between the wisdom of this world and godly wisdom. We need to realise that the commonly accepted wisdom of this day and age is anything but rational. Indeed, there does appear to be a degree of insanity prevailing. Leaders are not, or probably have not, learned the lessons of history, and they undertake the same responses to the same situations and expect different results to those which were obtained in previous examples of similar events. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is not rational. Here in James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, we find the following. "Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown of peace of them that make peace. We see from this passage that there are two very different types of wisdom. The wisdom that we need comes from God, and we have to ask for that wisdom on a daily basis. We need to respond to the daily problems that we face now and in the very near future in a completely different manner to that which we expect the world would accept. And that could well bring us into contention with the general population. It will not be very popular in very many quarters. We do not accept the standards of this world as we see it this day. And we may well find that this will cause a degree of friction. But we must be as harmless as doves and wise as serpents as we come out of this society. We have been warned that at the end time that we will be hated by all nations. That should not be because of any wrongdoing on our part, but simply because we behave in a totally different manner and have a completely different approach to the world around us, a peaceful manner as far as we are able. But there is a commandment that we need to bear in mind as we go along in our daily lives. And that commandment is found in the second epistle of Peter and beginning in chapter 3 and verse 18, which is where I would like to turn now. Although the word wisdom is not mentioned in this particular verse, I believe that it is safe to say that it is implied. After all, it has been said that wisdom is the ability to use knowledge with understanding. But more importantly, the fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So when we read 2 Peter chapter 3 and beginning verse 18, we see the words that are of very similar import. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now let's just quickly recap over what we have been through here. Firstly, we realise that in the world's eyes, not many wise men are called at this time. This is the category into which you and I, and the majority of us, fall who are in the church. Secondly, we realise that the wisdom of this world is anything but rational, anything but true wisdom. And in many cases, as I said, it is totally irrational. And thirdly, we need to realise that we do need to grow in grace and wisdom, as we are commanded, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen.